I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Thomas Jefferson.
Money Machine. 88 Double Snowman. Post-Thanksgiving.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome back to the Mad Money Machine. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I did, and my chair knows it. I did also. The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at ifa.com. After skipping a week, I've got a whole lot of stuff backed up to talk about on this show, so I'm eager to get to it. We're going to give away one of those four CD sets from Index Funds Advisors, and I'll have info on how you can win the new book from James J. Cramer. Well, for our Thanksgiving, we all piled in the van and went over the river and through the woods to Gammy's house in beautiful Huntington, West Virginia. A short 6-hour drive away, and while we were there, we watched a couple of movies. We watched the Bee movie. I watched about half of it. The other half I fell asleep. And we watched a movie called Dan in Real Life with Steve Carell. I do recommend seeing Dan in Real Life. And I went out on Black Friday to Ashland, Kentucky, to the OfficeMax store there and got a fantastic Black Friday deal. And I'm looking at it right now. It's a 24-inch LCD computer monitor by Soyo. And I got it for $250. And I brought it back home, and my wife said, oh, thank you. I said, what? What do you mean? She said, you got it for me, right? I said, no, I got it for me. She said, well, I want one. And so I got back in the car and drove back to Ashland, Kentucky, and picked up another 24-inch monitor. And so now we're the proud owner of two of them. I finished a good book, which I guess is out of print. Now, I found out about this book because the author passed away a couple of weeks ago, Ira Levin. I don't know if you know who Ira Levin is or not. Let me give you some idea of the books he's written. He wrote Rosemary's Baby, which was made into a movie. He wrote The Stepford Wives. He wrote The Boys from Brazil, Sliver. And in plays, he wrote Death Trap, Christopher Reeve. The book that I read, though, written in 1970, called This Perfect Day, it was a fascinating fictional work. Wikipedia says it is a heroic science fiction novel of technocratic utopia, often compared to 1984 and Brave New World. This Perfect Day is in some ways more subtle in its depiction of the oppressive society of the story. I looked on Amazon. I think the cheapest you can get a used copy for that now is about $18. And I don't really want to put my copy up there right now because I want to let my wife read it. It's a pretty good one. I have a whole big stack of other books that I'm trying to read, including the one I want to give away, Cramer's book. He's got a new one coming out just in a few days, Stay Mad for Life. And I've read about the first couple of pages and don't really have the time for it, but I guess I'll have to slog my way through it for you. I'm reading a book called Freedomnomics, several books on economics, another one called Discover Your Inner Economist, Tyler Cowen, The Undercover Economist, Tim Harford, and I've also picked up from the library Judge Andrew Napolitano's The Constitution in Exile, and I've got a copy of Ron Paul's A Foreign Policy of Freedom. I have a copy from the library of a book called The End of America by Naomi Wolf, and then finally I am trying to read, and I guess it's at the very bottom of the stack still, Nassim Nicholas Taleb's The Black Swan. So read along with me, if you will. I'll have links to all these books in the show notes for this show.
A voice drifted up from the radio.
So all along, I thought inflation was due to the fact that a company had to pay its workers more money because they expected more money every year, I guess, or something. So let's say, you know, the reason a washing machine's price goes up was because just some sort of natural phenomenon that made prices rise over time. And it turns out that that's not quite a natural phenomenon. From what I am gathering in several of the things that I've been reading, the reason prices go up is not because the value of the thing goes up. It's because the value of the thing that you buy the thing with has gone down. And I'm talking, of course, about the U.S. dollar. Now, we know the U.S. dollar is going down against, what, gold, oil, the euro, the Canadian dollar, and all those things. But it's not necessarily going down against all the washing machines that we need to buy, other than at the inflation rate. And here's where we get into a discussion about the Fed, which, by the way, I'm told is no more federal than Federal Express. Did you know that? The Federal Reserve Bank is not a government organization. It's sort of quasi-government. It's actually a private bank. And, of course, the head of the Fed is appointed by the president or Congress and all that sort of stuff. But they have the power to issue bonds or to buy bonds back, which in turn regulates the supply of money, Federal Reserve notes, in the United States system. By regulating the supply of these notes, that's what accounts for inflation. By issuing more and more and more money, the things that money buys go up in value relative to the value of the money. So if you have more of something, you know, it gets worth less. The rarity of it. I'm going to try to figure this out, and I'm passing it along to you on upcoming shows. After all, this is the Mad Money Machine. What better show to talk about the Federal Reserve, who are, in fact, a mad money machine? So I talked on a previous show about how the offices of the Liberty Dollar were raided. And I don't know if you know what the Liberty Dollar is or not. You can go out to libertydollar.org and read a little bit about it. Now, one of the things that I saw on their website, which kind of made me feel that it was a little bit slimy, just a little bit. I'm not saying it is, but it's something that I dislike about when I see it on the websites. There was the thing on the homepage that said, if you act by November the 30th, we'll give you a special price. Huh. Isn't that interesting? If I act by November 30th, 2007, I'll get a special price. Well, I came back to that site after a couple of days, and it would say something like, if you act by December 2nd, we'll give you a special price. And you see what was happening there? That web page was dynamically generating whatever today's date was. That was the special price you were getting. So already it's kind of said to me, that's a little bit cheesy. It's not, you know, it's not a fraud or anything, I guess, but it's kind of cheesy. Maybe if it said, if you act by today, that'd be a little bit less cheesy. I don't know. But anyway, so the FBI, Secret Service, whoever came in and took all the assets of the Liberty Dollar away. What was the federal government, what was their problem? They are concerned that the Liberty Dollar is minting a coin that is too close to an actual United States coin. And, of course, there are some laws on the books that say you can't produce a coin that is similar to U.S. money, or even foreign money, for that matter. And I guess their problem with it is that it actually says on it, Liberty. It's got a picture of the Statue of Liberty. It says, we trust in God, instead of, you know, in God we trust. It might have a date on it, and might have other things that make it look like a U.S. coin, in a sense. And I suppose, you know, with all the funny money that's coming out anyway, have you seen these new dollar coins? The presidential series of coins, George Washington and whoever on it. a poor clerk in a store looks at these coins and they don't know. I guess that's a dollar. And, you know, and the Liberty dollar, as I understand it, actually says a dollar on it. And so I guess a merchant could be confused and accept that thing as payment. And just imagine the poor soul if they tried to take it to the bank, though. I don't know what would happen there. Of course, the difference with one of the Liberty dollar coins is it's actually made out of a precious metal, so it's actually inherently worth something, whereas the U.S. dollar coin is made out of, what, zinc or something? It's not worth half a cent, really, inherently. But so Liberty dollar was raided, and I guess we'll see how it all shakes out. I think it's going to be interesting if there's a court case. Just imagine if Liberty dollar is acquitted. What a great bit of publicity it'll be for that alternative currency. And how really is the Liberty dollar different from a Disney dollar, which is an article in the Washington Post talked about, or Microsoft points? Have you heard about Microsoft points? If you're on Xbox and you want to buy something, you first need to trade in your Federal Reserve notes or Federal Reserve money, change that into Microsoft points. And I've heard a lot of people, especially on Leo Laporte's various shows, his podcast, I've heard a lot of people complain about Microsoft points, and they don't understand how much a song or a game or something costs when they use Microsoft points to buy it. And why would Microsoft make it so daggone complicated anyway? Well, and the first thing they did talk about was, yes, you trade in your U.S. money to buy these points in bulk. You can't just, you know, buy a 99-cent song. You have to buy $10 worth of Microsoft points, and then you can buy songs from that, however many points that you bought is. But the other thing that strikes me is this makes it easier for Microsoft to price something, okay, around the world. And here's the key. Microsoft can price something as, what, 5 Microsoft points or 500 Microsoft points or whatever it is. And that's good around the world. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter what currency you use, because they'll have an exchange rate between the Microsoft point currency and the local currency. And so they can price a movie at 500 Microsoft points anywhere in the world. And it makes it easy for them then to price things. All they need to do is adjust the exchange rate that you buy Microsoft points with. Out at the MadamMoneyMachine.com website, you'll see I've talked about an article. There was a skirmish between Paul B. Farrell at MarketWatch and Jim Cramer, because Paul B. Farrell said he watched Mad Money for the first time and thought it was horrible and explained why. And then Jim Cramer wrote a rebuttal saying it's not horrible and here's why. And as far as I know, I didn't see a rebuttal back from Paul B. Farrell to Jim Cramer, so I did one for him. And if you click on the link, you can read the entire rebuttal against Jim Cramer's arguments there. I saw on CNN the other day that there was one congressman who voted against something, and all the others, every other congressperson, voted for this thing. And you know what it was? Congress was voting whether or not to give Rosa Parks a medal. All right. And if you don't know who Rosa Parks is, look it up on Wikipedia. Well, everybody, except for this one congressperson, voted to give Rosa Parks a medal. And what was his justification for this? He said, I would love to give Rosa Parks a medal, but it's not up to me, working for the federal government, to say that I need to go get money from you, the taxpayer, to pay for this medal. All right? So that was a very interesting stance that this person took, this congressman. And I appreciate that so very much. And just imagine all the other decisions this congressman would make on our behalf, thinking first about us before he decides some other special interest. Now, who is this congressman? Well, I'll give you a clue. Just today, his supporters, he's running for president, his supporters have gathered over $350,000 in pledges to put a blimp in the air with his name on it. And you can go to a website with his name, followed by the word blimp.com. And you will see that they want to put a blimp up in Boston on December 16th, which is also near a date, I guess the same date that the Patriots are going to be playing a football game. So they're hoping that they can get this blimp there for various Boston Tea Party celebrations, as well as the Patriots football game. And if you can't figure out the answer yet, I'll have it on in the show notes of the show. Have you ever wondered if they stopped writing new books, if they stopped making new movies right now, if we stopped doing new podcasts, wouldn't we still have enough information in all the libraries and all the Blockbusters or Netflixes and all of iTunes to last us the rest of our lives? Yet, there is still much more information generated every day than there was the day before. I don't know. How are we ever going to wade through it all and make sure that we're selecting the appropriate information for us at any given time? It's a economic question, isn't it? So I did watch the debates, the Republican debates, and I gotta say, I really don't like that format at all. First of all, I really don't like this business of CNN picking which YouTube question they're going to ask the candidates. I just don't like the way the whole thing was run. Perhaps a better debate style would be to have the candidates appear two by two, or three by three, on some sort of hour-long roundtable discussion show where they're seated, maybe like one of these Meet the Press type shows or something, and it goes on for an hour, and they all get a chance to talk and answer the question in a little bit more civilized manner than standing in front of a huge audience. And also, instead of CNN picking the YouTube questions, wouldn't it be neat if we used Dig to select which questions to ask the candidates instead? So I think the internet is a much better place to find out about the candidates, and I encourage you to look there. Let's pull something out of the tool crib. Well, this tool doesn't have anything to do with money so much. Well, maybe it does, because depending on the outcome, you might be paying more taxes or less taxes. And the tool this time is something fun for the entire family. Glassbooth.org. GlassBooth. Think of voting booth or phone booth, only glass booth, a clear glass booth. Glassbooth.org is a website where you indicate the issues that are of interest to you. Then, on the next page, you indicate which way you fall on those issues. Or do you oppose them, or are you in favor of those issues to one degree or the other? And on the third screen, it will indicate to you which presidential nominee most closely correlates with your answers. And I did this, and it came up with the person that I've been talking to you about before. My mom did it, and she got somebody different. My sister did it, she got somebody different. My brother-in-law did it, he got somebody the same as my sister. And my wife did it, and she got somebody different from all of us. So, my good friend in North Carolina, I told him about it this morning. I'm looking forward to finding out what his answer will be. When you do it, I want you to think of, how badly do you want the federal government answering that question for you in your answer? Well, that's the tool in the crib this time. It's glassbooth.org, and like other tools I've given you, this one is free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Not give me money. Not give me money. That's what I want. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the rumble, and select a guru will give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go! And the winner this time on Men Machine Show 88 is Malcolm Stevenson Forbes Jr. Steve Forbes is the son of Malcolm Forbes and is the editor-in-chief of business magazine Forbes, as well as president and chief executive officer of its publisher, Forbes Incorporated. He was a Republican candidate in the U.S. presidential primaries in 1996 and 2000, and he wrote a book called Flat Tax Revolution, Using a Postcard to Abolish the IRS. And if you go out to Amazon now, you can buy a used copy of this book for one penny. And you can probably get one from your library too. But and don't forget, when you buy something used from Amazon, you also have to pay something like $3.50 for shipping. Okay, well, you remember a couple of years ago, the president had some sort of tax panel to study how we should revise the income tax code. And they came up with three suggestions, and none of it amounted to much of anything, which was really very disappointing for me. I was really hoping that something would be done to change all the paperwork that we have to fill out when we do our taxes, and a flat tax would be a good step in the right direction. Although they asked one of the presidential candidates, are you in favor of the flat tax? And he said, yes, I am, and it should be zero. So, I like that. But several other countries now have gone to this flat tax notion. I think Belgium is one of them, is coming up. And what they're finding out is that businesses seem to thrive more when they pay this flat tax. And ironically, or counterintuitively, the governments bring in more money somehow when they go to this flat tax. Well, in this book, Steve Forbes shows how a simple 17% flat tax will save you time, money, and worry. Why the flat tax will eliminate the IRS, its bureaucrats, its paperwork, its nightmares, and its hassles. Why the flat tax will create jobs and bring back ones we've lost overseas. And what you can do to make the flat tax a reality. But you know, if we made something like a flat tax, or a zero tax, what would all the congressmen and senators do with their time? How would they bend the tax code to gain political favor with their constituents? Well, maybe the answer to that is in the book by Steve Forbes, our guru on Mad Men Machine Show 88. Congratulations, Steve Forbes! We're at the end of November, the 11th month, and we'd like to talk about step 11 now for the 12-step program for active investors, index funds. Step 11 is risk exposure. Analyze your five dimensions of risk exposure. Did you know that over 90% of the returns of diversified portfolios of index funds can be explained by their exposure to five dimensions of risk? Those dimensions include market, size, value, term, and default. Once investors have determined their risk capacity, back in step 10, they'll be matched to one of the 20 index portfolios. Index funds are utilized to minimize taxes and maximize expected returns. A simulation of a properly designed index portfolio shows an outperformance over the S&P Index 500 index by 3% annualized for the last 50 years at the same level of risk and after the deduction of mutual fund fees and investment advisory fees. I'd like to bring in to this podcast from the IFA podcast, Mark Hebner. In this step, we're looking at the elements of risk exposure, building on our conversation about risk capacity from step 10. Mark, let's start with defining the connection between risk capacity and risk exposure.
The primary job for investors is to match their risk capacity with their risk exposure. And this step allows you to do that. You've already now got a handle, hopefully, got a handle on how much risk is right for you. And so you've got a score somewhere between 1 and 100. When you get to step 11, it then identifies globally diversified portfolios that match up with that score. So let's say you went to IFA.com, you took the risk capacity survey, and you scored a 70 on your risk capacity. Well, if you turn to page 218 or you go to the bottom of IFA.com on the homepage, you can see there that a portfolio 70 has a risk level in 50-year periods of about 11, and it's got 11 or 12, and it's got returns of about 12%. So that gives you some quantification of how much risk and return you would be anticipating over future long periods, like maybe 10 years or so. And it sort of completes this CEO type of investing, which is this capacity exposure optimization.
All right, before we get specifically into the thick of things on risk exposure front, you talk in your book about modern portfolio theory. Can you discuss how this relates to the 12 steps and the impact it has on our listeners?
Well, modern portfolio theory is a phrase used to describe the Nobel Prize-winning work of Sharp, Markowitz, Miller. In essence, the modern portfolio theory summarized would tell you that you want to find the most efficient investment when considering both the risk and return. And it also focuses investors on this step, which is your risk exposure. And so I would urge you to read this section about modern portfolio theory and to look at the charts like on page 218 that identify both the risk and expected returns of various indexes as well as index portfolios or mixed together indexes to see the sort of spectrum of investment choices.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark. On the next show, we'll bring you back in and talk a little bit more about diversification and a little bit more about step 11, even though technically it'll be the 12th month.
Mad Money Machine, named by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine as one of the must-read blogs.
Well, I sat down last night. I had most of the show already done, but I sat down really late with Jim Cramer's new book, and I did a hyper read through it, you know, where I just kind of skimmed most of it, and I got about halfway through the hyper read part of it. But I can tell you already, and I wanted to fit this into this show, this book is definitely different than anything else Jim has ever done before. He says in this book, index funds are terrific, page 127. I'm going to do a more thorough read on it, hopefully, and give you a point-by-point analysis of it soon. So stay tuned. And let's take a caller.
Hello, Paul. I've been from Vancouver, B.C. I've been listening to your show since probably number 12 anyway. It's a great show. And I noticed in your last Smiler show that you were talking about tracking your investments using a spreadsheet. I started one probably 10 years ago. Because it always bugged me how the mutual fund people always told you how much money you had, but never told you what your year-to-date percentage increase was and dollar increase. In other words, if you were always adding money, of course it would go up because you're putting money in, but they never told you how well you were really doing. So I started with that, and then I've gradually improved it. Now basically I have one workbook with about four different spreadsheets inside of it, which tracks all my expenses, all my assets, and my net worth. And I can pretty much pound that off. And, you know, I update it. It takes me a few minutes a month, and it's just been an excellent tool. And I recommend that type of a tool for anybody, although it took me hours to perfect it. And there's still a couple things I need to do. But anyway, there you go. Keep up the great work, but I think that's important for everybody. You need to know how much money you're making, not how much money you have, so you can really, truly track the proper returns. And have a great Thanksgiving.
I want to thank you very much for that call. Yes, indeed. You know, I am now, I think, a spreadsheet convert. I kind of wish that I had gotten into a discipline of just using Excel spreadsheet to keep track of everything, like instead of using either Microsoft Money or Quicken, one of those types of programs. I think Excel probably is the better way to go. And I'm sure there's a number of templates out there that would help you keep track of checking accounts and things and budgets. And even, I don't know, what if there's a way to synchronize your Excel with your bank statement like you can in either Quicken or Money? But thanks for the call. Anyone else like to call, please call 206-734-4763. All right, it's time for some giveaways. I want to thank all of you who made comments out at iTunes, both recently and even a long time ago, to try to win the 4-CD set from Index Funds Advisors called An Audio Journey to Tradeless Nirvana. I'm going to pick a couple names right now. First one is Aaron Howard. Aaron, email me your mailing address that you want me to send one of these to. And the second name I'm going to pick is Tom Collins. Both you guys, email me your mailing address and I will send you a copy of this 4-CD set. Now, anybody else listening, you still have a chance. I've got a few more left. If you will make a comment about this show out in iTunes, just find it in the iTunes store. Go find Mad Money Machine. You'll see the logo for it. Or an easy way to get to it is go into your podcasts listening in your iTunes software and click on the very first line of the Mad Money Machine, and there's a little right arrow right next to the Mad Money Machine name. Click on that and it will take you to the place in the iTunes store where you can write a review. Once you've done that, email me your iTunes account name and tell me you've made a review, and I'll enter you to win, and I want you to win one of these 4-CD sets. It's a CD audio set talking about the 12 steps. And let's give away a book, which I'm going to talk more about the book later, but let's give away on the next show. We will give away a copy of Jim Cramer's new book, not even available in stores yet. They sent me 4 of them. I'm going to try to read one of them and give the other 3 away. Let's give one away next week. Jim Cramer's Stay Mad for Life. You can either make a comment on iTunes or make a comment on your own blog and reference madmoneymachine.com, preferably with a hyperlink in it, or make a comment somewhere else in somebody else's blog or in some other forum somewhere. Help advertise the Mad Money Machine, and I will register you to win a copy of Jim Cramer's book. And just email me to let me know where you put it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Yo, Brooke, are you ready? Yeah, Brittany, you know I am. Tyler, yeah, what you talking about?
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes reading lots and lots of books to make a Mad Money Machine. I will see you next week. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. I do appreciate any and all feedback. Email feedback@madmoneymachine.com or call 206-734-4763. Write a comment in the show notes or just send up a blimp.